Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Online. We began last week a brand new message sermon series called Shaped for Significance. And just a way of introduction, quick review. I believe there's a difference between success and significance. So these are my working definitions. Success is about what you do and what you accomplish. It's about what you do and what you accomplish. Like you are the teacher of the month because you have been a successful teacher in your classroom. It's about what you have done and what you've accomplished. You may be the salesperson of the month because you have outperformed everybody else in your department and on your team. Success is about what you do, what you accomplish. I believe significance is significantly different than success in this definition. Ready? Significance is about creating a lasting legacy by who you are and the difference you make in others. It's not about you exclusively. It is about you, but more than that. It doesn't end with you. You are creating a lasting legacy by two things. Who you are, it's about the inner character. And number two, by the difference that you make in the lives of others. Let me read to you John 15, the very words of Jesus Christ. And I believe he is talking about significance because he talks about bearing fruit. Listen to this, the words of the Lord. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. There you have it. Jesus wants you and me to abide in him, remain in him. He is the vine, we are the branches, and thereby it's about who we are. It's about the who. Well, let me read this sentence for you. It's on the slide. It's not about the do, but the who. When you focus on the who, then the do will follow. When you focus on abiding in Jesus, when you have your identity rooted in his grace and in his works, then you become this person who inevitably and naturally move into, you are committed, you are passionate about bearing fruit. It's about the do, therefore. But we always focus on the who, then the do will follow. So I believe Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Creator, your Redeemer, and your Sustainer, and the one who is coming back, he desires that you and I be shaped for significance. And today, we're going to focus on being shaped through prayer. But before we proceed, I just want to, Jesus Christ would have me encourage you to find a local church, a tangible, actual, concrete body of Christ. We thank the Lord for this platform, for the gift of technology. But this was a substitute for a time. This is not the way God has intended to be in terms of the normalcy. What Jesus wants is for you and I be shaped for significance in the lives of real people. So may the Lord and the Holy Spirit encourage you and challenge you to find a local church. Amen. So let's proceed with the reading of the word. And the text is from John 14. Hear the word of the Lord. Don't you believe that I, this is Jesus speaking, I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me, who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Would you join me in reading verses 12 and down in unison? Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, please download the sermon outline and write these words. Here's the theme and the goal. You are shaped for significance through prayer. Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, the one who's coming back, the one who sits upon the throne of the universe, He is shaping you. You and I are being shaped for significance. He wants you and me to create a lasting legacy through prayer so that lives, many lives, may be affected, challenged, and blessed. So prayer. Now, here's the thing. On the surface, this is a profound and just a simple promise of Jesus Christ. Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it. He repeats that. Ask me. You may ask me. Ask me anything, anything at all, in my name, and I will do it. That's the promise. He says, I will do it. It is impossible for God to lie, because God is true, and He is the truth. And therefore, whatever He promises, He comes through. So He's going to do whatever you ask Him. But there's one qualifier, very important, because if you don't get the condition right, if you don't understand the qualifier right, if you don't exercise it, practice it in the way Jesus meant it, then you are going to ruin all this. What's the qualifier? What is one condition? And there is one. In the name of Jesus. Ask me anything in my name. In my name. He will do it. So I want to unpack for the remainder of the time. What does that mean that we pray in His name? And I think there are four things. Pray in the name of Jesus for access, glory, works, and confidence. Let's go. Let's get to the first one. Pray in the name of Jesus for access. Look at verse 10. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Jesus Christ, God the Son, is saying God the Son and God the Father are one. The Father is living in the Son, and the Son is living in the Father. The words that Jesus, God the Son, speaks are not His own words, not His own authority, but rather it is the Father living in the Son speaking these. And the works that the Son has been doing, it's not that the Son has been doing all by Himself. It is the Father doing the works in and through the Son. Simply put, in a theological jargon, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Father are one. They are together in communion, inseparable. And therefore, Jesus says, if anyone believes in me, and He went on to say, now I am going to the Father, and therefore, for those of you who believe in me, anyone, everyone who puts his or her trust in me, now you and God the Son, Jesus Christ, become one. You are living in Jesus, Jesus living in you, just like the Son and the Father are one, and now you and Jesus, anyone who believes in Jesus Christ, they become in communion, in unison, inseparable. And therefore, you have access to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? There's only one access to God the Father. If you pray to Him, you have to pray in the name of Jesus. It's like the password to the heavenly throne above. You cannot have access to the throne of the majesty and the sovereignty of God the Father without the password. And what's the password? In the name of Jesus. Friends, I don't mean to shock you, but this is the truth. If you don't pray in the name of Jesus, your prayer will fall short. Your prayer will not be heard. Your prayer will not have access to the throne of the majesty of God the Father. It is only in the name of Jesus Christ you can pray. And therefore, anyone who prays anything to God apart from the name of Jesus, it will not be heard. You can't get through. You're saying, well, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound fair. Here, look. I live in Edmonton, city of 1 million, and we have a mayor, and I want to have a chat with him. So I tried to phone him. Guess what? I didn't get through. I have to have an appointment. I have no access to the mayor unless I go through all kinds of stuff, steps. Let's say I am trying to get a hold of the Prime Minister of Canada. Do you think I'll have access to him? Mm-mm. Well, let's take it one step farther. I want to congratulate the new King of England, King Charles. Do you think I have access to him just by saying, hey, pick up the phone? No. But then think it through. This is very logical. Since that's the case, how can I, a fallen human being, a sinner, how can I have access to the Holy God of the universe all on my own? If I pray in my name, in the name of Victor, it will not be heard. If you pray in your name to the Holy One of the, it will not be heard. Only in the name of Jesus. Therefore, we have access in the name of Jesus. Number two, pray in the name of Jesus for glory. Look at verse 13, so important. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That phrase, so that, that's the result. That's the purpose clause. We pray anything to glorify the Father in the Son, then it will be heard. Whatever you pray for, anything at all that brings glory to the Father in the Son, that will be heard, that will be answered. So, what does it mean that the Father may be glorified? The word glory, it's an abstract concept. In Greek, glory is doxa, from which we get the English word doxology. Literally, doxa is light. Mm-hmm. Glory means light. So here is my rendition of the translation. When you say you want to glorify the Father through the Son, in the Son, it means you want to shine a spotlight on God the Father. That's a good description, don't you think? You put a spotlight on God the Father in the Son. Meaning, whatever you pray, the end, the purpose of your prayer, whatever you're asking for, is to put a spotlight on the Lord Himself. Say, thank you. It's not about me. It's about you. I must decrease. You must increase. And whatever you give me, whatever you set before me, it is to your glory. I live for the glory of God. My existence, my living, the reason I have air in my lungs, the reason I have breath is one purpose, to put a spotlight on the Father in the Son. That's it. Okay? And that is a summation of your purpose, my purpose. Everything in this world exists to put a spotlight on God the Father in the Son. One more observation. Glorify the Father in the Son. Jesus says, you cannot glorify the Father apart from the Son. You cannot live out your purpose without coming to me first in the Son. And thereby, only in the Son, God the Father can be glorified. This is very Christocentric. This is high Christology. Pardon me for using all these theological jargons. What it means is this. The whole focal purpose of my being, I live to bring glory to God the Father in the Son, through the Son. I must come to the Son first, and thereby the Father may be glorified. Friends, Let me give you a warning. So many people treat prayer like the cosmic genie of the lamp. You know what I mean by that? So many people that I know and that you know, and I hope you're not one of those, you only come to God, you only pray to God for your needs. It's like God exists for you. You get all the spotlight, and God is like the genie of the lamp. Oh yes, Master, what is thy wish? Far be it from us. May we continue to say, pray in the name of Jesus for access and for glory. Before we go on, let's also say in James chapter 4, verse 2, here's a warning. The reason that your prayers are not answered. Number one, you do not have because you do not ask God. And number two, in verse 3, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. These prayers are about putting the spotlight on yourself. But instead, we have to put the spotlight on the Father through the Son. Number three, pray in the name of Jesus for works. Look at three verses here. Verse 10, it is the Father living in me who is doing his what? Work. Verse 11, believe in me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the what? Works themselves. And lastly, verse 12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Pray in the name of Jesus for works. What does the word works refer to? Does Jesus mean we're going to walk on water just like he did? Does Jesus mean we're going to feed the 5,000 just the way he did? Does Jesus mean that he is going to raise the dead just like he did? Now, all those works that Christ has done, it's all in the book of John. So, preceding to this point, chapter 14, Christ has accomplished all these works already. Is this what Jesus means that you will and you and I will do when we pray in the name of Jesus for works? I don't believe so. I don't think so. John gives the interpretation and the explanation of the word works. Let me take you to John chapter 6. Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." To believe in the one he has sent. When you pray to Jesus, when you ask him anything for his works, it means your prayers are about leading people to Jesus, reaching out to your neighbors, praying for the lost people in your family, in your work, in your neighborhood. Christ came to do the work of God the Father, which is to lead people to Jesus so that they may be saved, so that they may glorify God the Father, so that they may have life, so that they may have joy and significance and purpose in life. That is the works. So any prayer that is pushing the needle, any prayer that is a stepping stone, or any prayer that is being used by the power of the Holy Spirit to lead someone over here to Jesus Christ, whether that person be a seeker or an agnostic or an atheist, someone who is still not sure about Jesus, whatever your prayer may be, for resources, for opportunity, for opening and closing of doors, for wisdom, for understanding of the scripture, whatever you may pray for, if it is for the advancing of the works of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, Jesus promises he will do it. One illustration. Before the COVID, our church, Mosaic House, used to be at two campuses. And for our Sunday school teams, okay, we had like over 20 teachers, helpers, and workers. I hate to use the word volunteers because Jesus hates that word, volunteers. Because in the kingdom of Christ, there are no volunteers. We all love to do it, and we all get to do it, and we all participate. Now, since the COVID, we had to close all the doors down, and you know what happened, right? Okay. Now, fast forward, we were coming out of it, and then we were talking about gathering in person again, and of the 20 plus people of teachers and helpers, we only had two confirmation. Only two of them said, I will come back and I will serve gladly, because it is the work of Jesus Christ that we invest our time and talents in raising up these young children, telling them about Jesus, showing them about the love of Jesus, and how to follow Jesus, no matter how young, old they may be. This is the work of Jesus Christ. This is the work of the Father. But we only had two. So what did we do? We prayed. And we felt confident this is the work of Christ. And we felt confident we were doing it for the glory of God the Father in the Son. And we were confident we were asking this prayer request in the name of Jesus. So we said, send workers, send workers, send workers. And before the Holy Spirit sent workers, we proceeded in step of faith. We went ahead with the children's ministry. And I want to put the spotlight on God the Son and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. We have three teams of teachers, helpers, and workers said, I will pour my heart, I will invest my time in the lives of these young children so that they may get to love Jesus the way I do. Three teams. That means we got three Sundays of the month covered. But we're still one Sunday short, right? Okay. And just last week, five students from King's University near us, they said, hey, we would love to serve. They weren't solicited. They came to us and, hey, we like to serve. We get to serve. We want to be involved in the works of God the Son and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Give God the glory. Amen. So pray in the name of Jesus for access, for glory, and for works. And lastly, pray in the name of Jesus for confidence, for confidence. Look at verse 12. Very truly I tell you, Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Jesus says, truly, truly. The original language there is, amen, amen, amen. What does the word amen mean? It's hard to translate. Sometimes the Bible translations say truly, truly. Others say verily, verily. It means I agree with this and I put my trust in this. So be it. That's what it means. And Jesus emphasizes it. He repeats that, saying, verily, verily, truly, truly, amen, amen, amen. Put your trust in my promise. And what is the promise? Anyone who believes in me will do these great things. Anyone. Not just the 12 disciples. No, 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 no. Not just the missionaries. Oh, no, 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 no. Not just the professionals and the pastors. Oh, no, no, no. Not those super, super Christians. No, 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 no. You, me, anyone who believes in Jesus, the promise has been given. And that's why you want to be confident. We're not wondering if God will answer our prayers when we pray in the name of Jesus. We are confident because the promise is there. And no matter how many promises God has made, they are a resounding amen, amen, amen in Jesus Christ. So the Lord promises in His Bible. And that's why you want to have confidence. Have confidence, friends. Have confidence. Not in yourselves, but in the promise of Jesus Christ. Let's land the plane. What's significance? Significance is about creating a lasting legacy by who you are and the difference you make in others. So when it comes to prayer, when it comes to being significant through prayer, we have three environments. Three environments, okay? My house, our house, and the big house. My house is my home. Every day I pray on my own. Our house is the weekly house churches. We gather together and we pray together, we pray together. And the big house is the Sunday gathering of all the house churches and everyone. We come together and we pray together. Praying together brings about significance. Let me take you to Acts chapter 2. They, this is the early Christians, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and what? And to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property for possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That's the big house. And they broke bread in their homes, and that's our house. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. This is all about doing life together. House church movement is about doing life together. And that's why we pray together. We pray together. When you pray together for their needs in the name of Jesus, according to the will of God and for the works of Jesus Christ, you are being shaped for significance. So here's one challenge. Will you pray the Lord's Prayer with a partner? The Lord's Prayer starts with our Father in heaven, who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We put the spotlight on Jesus Christ and God the Father. We are here for their glory, right? And then follow, give us today our daily bread. Our knees. Follow the prayer about glorifying the Son and the Father. So here's one challenge. I pray with my prayer partner every week on Saturday, and it is marvelous. We feel the awe and the wonder of the Lord when we pray. So there's a challenge. Would you pray with me with our eyes closed? I wonder if there is a promise to claim for you. I wonder if there's a sin for you to confess. I wonder if there's a challenge with which to comply that you may do. In the name of Jesus, oh Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you for giving my friends in this online worship your promise, which they can claim, your grace. Ask anything to Jesus in His name, and He will do it. Do we have a sin to confess, Lord? Have we lacked faith in you? Were our prayers way too small for your glory? Did we simply focus on me, my knees, and we failed to fix our eyes on Jesus and glorify your name, O Lord? We confess our sins. You have given us challenges now. Help us to comply with your challenge. Thank you, Lord, that we get to pray with others to create lasting legacy. To your glory, we ask all these things in the mighty, wonderful, beautiful name of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, Amen, Amen, Amen.